I have started a series of messages on Bible readings by Dr. Jim. So many times we don't read the Bible enough. And so that's basically what I'm doing. I'm commentating, doing a little commentary on it as I go, but we need to hear what the Bible says, and so many people don't know anything about the Bible at all. And they go to church, and they hear a message on a topical subject, and they're still don't know what the Bible says, nor do they know many stories in the Bible, history, people, that they need to really know. We're going to go to the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, actually. And one of the things that we need to realize in Christianity, that we have a different God than the rest of the world has. We have a different God than the rest of the world. The rest of the world, they're trying to appease their God all the time, and they're going and sacrificing their flesh, or they're beating themselves, they're starving themselves, they're going out in jihad and killing themselves to appease their God. And like Islam, when they pray, they pray the Quran. They memorize it, then they pray the Quran. They just read the Quran. And they do it five times a day, but they have no personal relationship with God. They try to appease God by their month-long fast, so-called, but they eat all night. They just don't eat in the daytime. And their food bills, they say, are higher in the month of Ramadan than any other time, because they're having feasts every night after dark. Our God is a God that hears prayers. And not only does He hear prayers, He answers prayers. And the Bible is full of it, just completely full. And we're going to see such place right now as we read the first chapter in the book of 1 Samuel. And now there was a certain man from Ramathaim, Zophim, from the hill country of Ephraim. And his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, and the son of Elihu, and the son of Tohu, and the son of Suf, an Ephraimite. Now remember, the tribe of Ephraim was Manasseh and Ephraim. Remember those? They were Joseph's children that Jacob adopted. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this would go on. Now this man would go up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And remember, we're not having the temple here. We've got their tabernacle. Okay, the tabernacle. And the tabernacle for hundreds of years was in Shiloh. And so this man would go up there. And the two sons of Eli and Hophni and Phinehas were priests to the Lord there. And when the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all his sons and her daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah. Now this is a whole lot like Jacob, wasn't it? Jacob loved Rachel. He ended up with four wives, but he loved the one wife. And God shut her womb. For he loved Hannah, but the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival, however, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. I'm sure she was teasing her and saying, look at there, see, God blesses me and He doesn't bless you, ha, ha, ha. And it happened year after year, as often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her, and so she wept and would not even eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep and why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? And I am not better to you than 10 sons? Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. And we're talking about the temple of the Lord, the house of the Lord, the dwelling place of the Lord, okay? And she greatly distressed, she was greatly distressed and deep distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she made a vow. And she said, O Lord of hosts, O Jehovah Sabaoth. Now here she's taken up to the temple of the Lord, the dwelling place of the Lord at Shiloh. And now she begs to the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth. If you will indeed look upon and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and with a razor shall not come upon his head. In other words, this boy is going to be a Nazarite from his mother's womb. All right? Now, Eli had two sons, and the boys were not very good. Now, God is going to use this woman to bring in a Savior, so-called, of Israel, in that he would be a leader. And it came about as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli was watching her mouth. And as Hannah, she was speaking in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought that she was drunk. And Eli said to her, How long will you make yourself drunk? Put away your wine from you. But Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I'm a woman oppressed in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, and I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman. For I have spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him. And she said, Let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So that the woman went away and ate, and her face was no longer sad. She had a confidence that God was going to answer her prayer now. She had a confidence. Now, then they arose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord and returned again to the house of Ramah. And Elkanah had relationships with Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Now the man loved her. I'm sure that Jacob made love to Rachel more than he did all the other women because he loved her. That's the woman that he wanted for a wife. And evidently, the same situation is going on here. And it came about in due time that Hannah had conceived. Actually, it's what it says there. It says she caught seed, and she gave birth to a son. And she named him Samuel, saying, Because I have asked of him the Lord. Samuel means that God hears, basically. Then the man Elkanah went up with all his household to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and pay his vows. But Hannah did not go up. For she said to her son, I will not go up until the child is weaned. Then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and stay there forever. She loves this child and he's her only child, but she told God that I'm going to give him to you. She's one of the most outstanding women in the Bible, by the way. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Do what seems best for you, and remain until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord confirm his word. So the woman remained and nursed her son until he was weaned. And now, when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with a 3-year-old bull, and an ephah of flour, and a jug of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. Although the child was young, then they slaughtered a bull, and brought the boy to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, As your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. For this boy I prayed that the Lord has given me my petition, what I ask of him. So I've also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. And now here's Hannah's prayer. And it's a prophetic prayer. It's prophecy. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies. Because I rejoice in your salvation. There is no one holy like you, Lord. Indeed, there is no one beside you. Now is there any rock like our God?" And the word rock there, Jesus is the rock of our salvation in the New Testament. He was the rock that the church was built on. He was the stone that the church was built upon. He said in the New Testament, he says, "You are Peter, but upon you are Peter, Petros, a little stone, a pebble, a rock. But upon this gigantic foundation stone, I shall be building my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." This is one of the Old Testament terms for Jehovah. And Jehovah means he who shall become, and Jesus is Jehovah fulfillment. "There is another rock like our God. Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed. And the bows of the mighty are shattered, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry cease to be hungry. Even the barren gives birth to seven, but she who has many children languishes. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and raises up again." She believed in the God of the resurrection, remember? The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust, and he lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's. All the foundation of the earth is the Lord's. And he set the world on them, and he keeps the feet of his godly ones. But the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by night shall a man prevail. Those who contend with the Lord shall be shattered. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he will give strength to his kingdom, to his king, and will exalt the horn of his anointed one. She's talking about Jesus Christ. Then Elikai went to his house at Ramah, but the boy ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. Now the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. Here they were priests, but they didn't even know the Lord. You know, it's a real good thing. I remember a long time ago, I knew a woman out in Taft area, and she was a former Baptist, but she was going to a Catholic church. I said, "Why in the world are you going to a Catholic church when you're a Baptist?" "Well," she said, "he knows the Lord. He's been saved." And I said, "Well, that's an exception to the rule, isn't it?" Anyway, he knows the Lord. Now the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. And the custom of the priests with the people, when any man was offering a sacrifice, the priest servant would come for a while. Then the meat was boiling with a three-pronged fork in his hand. Then he would thrust into the pan and kettle and cauldron and pot, and all that the fork brought up the priest would take for himself. Thus did they in Shiloh for the Israelites who came there. Now the priests were fed from the offerings that they brought, but they weren't supposed to take more than what God had prescribed for them to take, and these boys were doing that. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who was sacrificing, "Give the priest meat for roasting, as he will not take boiled meat from you, only raw." And if the man said to him, "They must surely burn the fat first, then take as much as you desire," then he would say, "No, but we shall give it to me. You shall give it to me now. And if not, I will take it by force." Thus the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for the men despised the offering of the Lord. Now Samuel was ministering before the Lord as a boy, wearing a linen ephod. And his mother would make him a little robe and bring it to him from year to year, when she would come up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "May the Lord give you children from this woman in a place that one she dedicated to the Lord." And they went their way on their way home. And the Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the boy Samuel grew up before the Lord because she had given him to him. Now Eli was a very old man, and he heard all that his sons were doing to all of Israel, and how he lay with the women who served at the doorway of the tent meeting. And he said to them, "Why do you do such things, the evil things that I hear from all of these people?" These boys were bad. "No, my sons, for the report is not good which I hear, and the Lord's people circulating. If one man sins against another, God will meditate for him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who can intercede for him?" But they will not listen to the voice of the father, for the Lord desired to put them to death. God had raised up a substitute. Now the boy Samuel was growing in stature and in favor both with the Lord and with men. Then a man of God came to Eli and said to him, "Thus saith the Lord, did I not indeed reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in the bondage and in Pharaoh's house? And did I not choose them from all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to go up and to my altar and to burn incense and to carry an ephod before me? And did I not give to the house of your father all the fire offerings of the sons of Israel? Why do you kick at my sacrifices? Why do you spit upon my sacrifices? Why do you disgrace me at my offering which I commanded in my dwelling, and honor your sons above me by making yourselves fat with the choices of every offering of my people Israel? Therefore the Lord God of Israel declared that I indeed say that your house and your house of your father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me I will lightly esteem. Behold, the days are coming when I will break your strength and the strength of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house. And you will see the distress of my dwelling, in spite of all that I did good for Israel, and an old man will not be in your house forever. Your children are going to die young. Yet I will not cut off every man from yours and from my altar, that your eyes may fail from weeping and your soul grieve, and all of the increase of your house will die in the prime of life. And this will be the sign of which I shall come concerning your 2 sons, Hophni and Phinehas. On the same day, both of them shall die. But I'll raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and in my soul, and I will build him an enduring house, and I will walk before my anointed always. And I shall come about that everyone who is left in your house shall come and bow down to him for a piece of silver or a loaf of bread and say, please assign to me one of your priest's offices so that I may eat a piece of bread. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli. And the word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. And it happened at the time Eli was lying down in the place. Now his eyesight had begun to grow dim and he could not see very well. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the Ark of the Covenant was. And again, this is not Solomon's temple. But the Lord called Samuel for this. And he said, here am I. Then he ran to Eli and said, here am I. For you called me. But he said, I did not call you. Lie down again. So he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. But he answered, I did not call you, my son. Go lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know that the Lord, nor that the word of the Lord yet had revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again for the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. Then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you shall say, speak, Lord, for thy servant is listening. So Samuel went and he lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for thy servant is listening. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel in which both ears of everyone who hears it will be tingled. They will tingle. They're going to listen. They're going to absolutely be in shock. In that day I will carry out against Eli all that I have spoken against his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse upon themselves that he did not rebuke them. He was too easy going on those boys. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by any sacrifice or offering forever. So Samuel lay down until morning, when he opened the doors of the house of Israel, but Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. And then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he said, here I am. And he said, what is the word that he spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the words that he spoke to you. So Samuel told him everything, that he had nothing from him, and he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what it seems good to him. Thus Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fail. And all of Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was confirmed as the prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, because the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh and the word of the Lord. Thus the word of Samuel came to all of Israel. Now Israel went out to meet the Philistines in a battle and camped beside Ebenezer, while the Philistines camped at Aphek. And the Philistines drew up in battle array against to meet Israel. When the battle spread, Israel was defeated before the Philistine, and who killed about 4,000 men on the battlefield. And when the people came into the camp, the elder of Israel said, why hath the Lord defeated us this day before the Philistine? Let us take to ourselves from Shiloh the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, that it may be among us and deliver us from the power of our enemies. Bad, bad mistake. They did not need to take a good luck charm with them, did they? So the people sent to Shiloh, and from there they carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, who sits above the cherubim, and two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. And it happened, as the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, that all of Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth trembled and resounded and vibrated. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What does this noise mean? This great shout in the camp of the Hebrews mean?" Then they understood that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God has come into the camp." And they said, "Woe to us, for nothing like this has ever happened before. Woe to us, who shall deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods?" They were pagans, you know. "There are gods that smote the Egyptians and all the kinds of plagues in the wilderness. Take courage, be men, O Philistine, lest you become slaves to the Hebrews, as they have been slaves to your, therefore be men of fight, men and fight." So the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated again. And every man fled to his tent, and the slaughter was very great, for there fell in Israel that day 30,000 foot soldiers. And the Ark of the Covenant was taken. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. Now a man from Benjamin ran from the battle line and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes torn and dust on his head. And when he came, behold, Eli was sitting on his seat by the road, eagerly watching, because his heart was trembling for the Ark of God. So the men came, and they fell down in the city, and all the city cried out. And Eli heard the noise of the outcry, and he said, "What does the noise of this commotion mean?" Then the man came and hurriedly and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were set so that he could not see. And a man said to Eli, "I am the one who came from the battle front line. Indeed, I escaped from the battle line today, and before said, 'How did things go, my son?'" Then the one who had brought the news answered and said, "Israel has fled before the Philistines. And there has also been a great slaughter among the people. And your two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the Ark of God has been taken." And it came about when he mentioned that the Ark of God, that Eli fell off his seat backwards beside the gate, and his neck was broken, and he died, for he was old and heavy. Thus he judged Israel for 40 years. Now his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was pregnant and about to give birth, and when she heard the news that the Ark of the Covenant was taken, and her father-in-law and her husband had died, she kneeled down and gave birth, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women who stood behind her said, "Do not be afraid, for you have given birth to a son." But she did not answer or pay attention. And she called the boy Ichabod, saying, "The glory of the Lord has departed from Israel, because the Ark of God has taken, and because her father-in-law, her husband." And she said, "The glory has departed from Israel, for the Ark of God was taken." What a story.
Yeah, it is.
What a story. Now we're going to read the next time, or the next class, we're going to read about what the Ark did to, what God did to the Philistines. And it's funny. And yet it isn't funny. This is a story from God's Word that is true. This really happened so many thousands of years ago. There was a man named Eli. He had two sons. There was a boy named Samuel. He had a mother named Hannah. These people really lived. And they died, and their children died, and we come all the way down today to us. And this is the story for our example, for our instruction. Follow the Lord. Follow the Lord in His ways. Now, we don't go to the temple of God anymore. We go to church. When we go to church, we honor God. We honor God with the reading of His Word and then the following of His Word. Our Father, we send this message out to honor and glorify You and to feed Your sheep where they are in the world. Father, please forgive me where I fail You. Thank You for all the blessings You give us and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.